Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
So I'm going to talk to you on the anointing, and I want to set you up. You're expecting God to touch you tonight with the power of God, and you hunger and thirst for his presence, and you want to go home a little more filled with his presence. Yes, you may be filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's an ongoing, continuing infilling. And I think the church needs to walk more in his power, because when you're full of him, you're intoxicated by his presence. You're fearless of man. You're full of courage. And that's what the early church was about. And you have hands of fire. So I'm going to take off from John 14, verse 21, from 14, verse 17. And I love the scripture. I don't think I've ever got to reading through the whole of the chapter of John 14 without ending up as a heap on the ground because of just the power of what is said in there. So it says in verse 17, let me just go to 16. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Once you're born again, you have a helper. He helps you to do what you can't do. The anointing can be described as the presence or the ability of God upon you to do what he's called you to do. Yes, there's a great commission, but sometimes he's called you to do something different, lead a church, those kind of things. And when that happens, there is a help. There is someone who goes with you, and that's what God wants. Verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth, that he may help and that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. That's the first point that he makes there. Whom the world cannot receive. Number two, the world, the unsaved, cannot receive him. We Christians can, because it does not see him. The world does not see him, which means that we can see him. Just let that settle on you. Can I see the Holy Spirit? I can see the anointing on people. And when you're a Christian, you can sense through spiritual eyes the presence of God on people. Does not see him or know him. That's number four. See him is number three, or know him, number four. So you can see him and know him. It's like identity. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. How's that? Two places. We go on from that. Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus speaking. Listen carefully, he says to the disciples, I'm sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you, but you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with the power from on high. Hang around in Jerusalem because something's going to happen. Fully clothed. How do you put on clothes? You know, you choose, you put on clothes. What you're wearing today is what you like wearing to be seen in for tonight, or tomorrow morning you dress a certain way. You are clothed. You are equipment. And it says, you shall, as this translation, I think, says here, until you are fully equipped with power from on high. So the Holy Spirit coming upon you as putting clothes on means that you are being fully equipped with power from on high. So you're a dangerous person to the enemy, a wonderful person to another Christian. But I want you to see that you are fully equipped. I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them, you are the equipment. Okay, I'm saying that for a reason. If you have a Message Bible and you look up Matthew 10, Jesus sending out his 12, he says, as you go preach saying the kingdom of God's at hand, do these things, take no money belts, no thing, don't go and raise a fundraising campaign. Don't try and change the mayor of the town. You are the equipment. That's what it says in the Message Bible. So you don't have to wait for anything else. When I read that, when I was doing crusades, I think one of the things about an evangelist doing open air stuff, he reckons, or he feels, the bigger the sound, the more important he is by reaching the town. So you're relying on equipment that's not you to do the job. And you know what? People don't, are not impressed by the amount of sound. They're impressed about what's inside the sound, what you say. And so when you want to do missions or go out there and win the lost, you don't have to sit back, well, you know, like I did, and I knew someone else told me, you need a Land Cruiser with air conditioning and a trailer, and you need lights, and you need a generator, you need. Then I'll go, no. Forget that, you do it. And when I understood that, I put a pack on my back and walked. Kelly, I'll see you in a week. I just went, and I had a blast. Such fun. I was treated like a king. Slept on water beds, 20 kilometers in the bush in KwaZulu-Natal. How in the world do they have a water bed that deep in the bush? I said, what is this? You know, he says, no, we want you to sleep there. We'll sleep outside. What are you kidding? That's your bed. You know, you're the head of the, you stay there. I'll sleep out. No, that's what I'm, anyway. You are the equipment. John 20, 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, here's the knowledge you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Here is the knowledge you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power upon. Okay, I read John 20, 22, and he said this, breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed in. You inhale. It's in. Acts 1:8 is upon. Holy Spirit in, as John 14 says, the Holy Spirit upon, in and upon. What's the in? Why did he breathe in them? That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's what's in you. Love, joy, peace, patience. That's the character of who the Holy Spirit is. He's in you. That's how you behave. It's the being, the attitude of what the attitudes are. And so you walk in love, joy, peace. That's how you people see that you're different because of your behavior. And so you become a walking, living message on your own by the way you treat and love people. But there's also the Holy Spirit upon, which is this thing, which is a totally separate encounter, which is a different encounter from the Spirit upon, within you. So here there's the equipping. It's like, this is what I want you to carry in you, but this is what I want you to be with you. You will be my witnesses. Not to do my witnessing. Because when you do witnessing, you've got an evangelistic program. This Saturday, we're going to go and feed hamburgers to the guys under the bridge. Are you coming? So our evangelistic outreach meetings thing for the month, program for the church. No, you be my witnesses 24/7 under bridges, on top of skyscrapers and airplanes everywhere. You be. Because if you be, you are, because he's in you. You cannot dislocate yourself. Otherwise, you're not with the Holy Spirit. Let me just move on here. So let me just quickly say, how do you quench or grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, there are two things that the Holy Spirit does not like. Grieving the Holy Spirit relates to character. It's your character, the grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, and do not quench the Holy Spirit. The grieving is the fact that you are doing things that you shouldn't be doing, that you know if he was with you, he wouldn't be happy with you. Do not grieve him. And what does that mean? It means being sensitive to who he is. John G. Lake, who walked this land, he says, I'm consciously aware of God's presence every half an hour. In other words, Spurgeon also said, I take time out every half an hour to let Jesus know that I'm there. So you'd read the Bible or pray. Someone said, why? It's because I'm available. Most Christians aren't available. The woman with the issue of blood was available. She bumped into him. All the other crowd were just hanging with him. She got what she wanted. They never got it. People come to church wanting Jesus to change them, but they're just the crowd. If you want Jesus to change you, you need to bump in and contact him and demand from him what he's got. Bang, change. Who touched me? So I'm going to get serious. But that's it. So grieving is the Holy Spirit relates to character. Quenching is to extinguish, suppress, restrain, block, obstruct him. He says something to you, and he asks you to do something, and you say, not now, I'm busy. Bang! Quench the Holy Spirit. The flame goes smaller. The fire goes a little less. The light of your testimony diminishes. Okay, so those two things is to watch and know. And so basically, I think it's this. If you've got the Holy Spirit with you, he is somebody that you walk with, you shower with, you talk with, you eat with. He's with you. You put on, you never take off. So hang on, Holy Spirit, I just want to have a rest. I'm on holiday, I'll come back in a month. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, no, I'm with you. Sorry, I'm with you. I'm attached, dude. You're going to have to take me with you. Oh, no, please don't look. I'm just... No, no. You see, you want the more of God's power. You want the hands of fire. You're going to have to walk with him and be with him. Okay? Here's an amazing scripture. 2 Kings 13:21. During the springtime, while a group of men were out burying a man, they spied a gang of bandits approaching them. They became afraid, so they threw the dead man's body into Elisha's grave. As soon as the dead man's body touched the bones of Elisha, the dead man miraculously came back to life and stood up. How long had he been dead? No one knows. Dead long enough to know that there's only bones left. Why didn't Elisha get raised from the dead? Well, God says you have 70 and then there's the end, but... You see, the anointing is not subjective to lifespan of a man or a person. The anointing actually resided in those bones. They hung around in the bones. They were there. They never left. So when somebody else who was dead that touched that kind of resurrection power, that corpse came back to life. So they're trying to get rid of a murder scene, getting raided. They were scared. They tried to get rid of evidence. They fled. They fled. He fled. And it's interesting in the Bible, there's just those few verses of the Bible, and then it just carries on to something else. It says, oh, by the way, you know this guy who fell on the thing, and he got up and he was, yeah, let's carry on. It's like, it's not unusual. It's like they kind of understood how the anointing is actually a tangible thing that it can be held and kept in place. Here's the key. Bones conduct the supernatural. I'm just going to put that out there. Just to keep you there, okay? Ezekiel 44:19, another scripture. When they go out into the outer court, the priests that were serving in the temple, when they go into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments in which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. Then they shall put on other garments so that they will not transmit holiness to the people with their garments. Are you hearing a little bit something about who the anointing is? So it's in clothing. Second thing that can conduct the power of God, which you know it's in the Bible because it happened a lot with Jesus. So two things there. And the fact is that I put an asterisk next to some of these scriptures, which I'll tell you. Mark 3:10. For he had healed many with the result that all those who had afflictions pressed around him in order to touch him. There's a principle. So you say, well, Jesus is not here. No, but his anointing is in the church through certain gift ministries, through the eldership, through those who carry certain anointings. Okay? Mark 5:28. For she thought, if I touched his garments, I'll get well. That's a woman with issue of blood. Touched his garments. Mark 5:28 is the woman with issue of blood. Mark 6:56, because she touched his garment and got healed, something happened and spread around the community and said, anyone who wants to get healed, just go and touch Jesus, because she did, it can happen that way. You do what she does and you'll get it. Well, they did. Wherever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces, imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched were cured. Their faith got what he had. It's a key. You can go out there and just touch it and say, I'm just going to do this. No, if you touch it with intention, you're going to get what is mentioned there. You're going to get that power. A lot of people just do the thing, but they don't do the thing right. You don't do it with the right attitude. Right, say, God, I need your presence. I need your anointing. So that's what happened. They just lined up and got it. It's a kind of a desperation. Mark 8:22, and they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. But he didn't. He took him by the hand, led him out of the city. But they knew how this guy can be healed because they'd seen it before. He'd just touch him. So coming into the presence of Jesus, if you see Jesus as a man in the New Testament, just think that it's the presence of God where the anointing is there in worship, in the church, the presence of God. You know it's there. That's when you come in to Jesus. He is the anointing. He is the great I am. He is, I am the Lord your healer. He is the one who carries the anointing, but he's also given it to the church and to people with gifts of the Spirit and with fivefold gift ministry as well. And so it is the presence. So when we come to church, one thing is that you come with expectancy, which I said earlier. And that expectancy places a demand on the anointing. Those ministering, if you minister with compassion, compassion is the riverbed of the supernatural. Because compassion with faith and hope as the riverbanks channels that power, that anointing to you. You come asking for mercy. How many people in the Bible said, Lord, have mercy on me? When they ask for mercy, the word compassion and mercy is the same. It's the same meaning. When you come for mercy, you are basically saying, I know I'm guilty. I know I'm condemned. I know I have no way out of this. I cannot repay you. There's nothing I can do. But Lord, the way you treated David, who also adulterated, fornicated, murdered, he also did that. But he humbled himself in sackcloth and ashes, and you granted mercy to him. I want that mercy that he got, the mercy of David. Give that to me, Lord. You've done it once. You can do it for him. And every time anyone said that to Jesus, he, boom, turned. Even to the Syrophoenician woman who's not a Jew, she got mercy. Why? She grabbed it by faith, raw, rugged faith. Faith and mercy connect. You got something. Something happens. A church in faith, knowing the compassion of God, that they don't earn it, they cannot strive to get it, but come in desperation to connect it and say, Lord, everything. I don't understand it all, but let it be done to me as you say. I want to be filled. I want to carry you, Jesus Christ, being formed in me, the hope of glory, that I can carry this. And our brains sometimes have to get right out the way to try and work it out. The Pharisees try to get people's brains locked up. They can never walk in faith. Acts 19:12, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Two things happened. Handkerchiefs carry the anointing. So you've got bones, you've got clothing, you've got handkerchiefs, and the clothes of Jesus. So that happened. Let me just move on. There's laws that govern the anointing, contact and transmission. In the natural realm, electricity is a power. It's the natural realm of every kind of metal that conduct electricity. There are certain metals that conduct electricity. Copper, is it aluminium is good, guys? I don't know if lead does. Certain metals do, and some other metals just say, I don't want you, leave me alone. But there are certain metals that conduct it. In the supernatural, with the kingdom of God, there are certain articles, material things that conduct the supernatural. As lightning and thunder is in the natural realm, so the supernatural realm is the anointing and the fire of God. Both produce a sound. So which comes first, lightning or thunder? Both together. When lightning hits, there's the sound. I would have said the same. But light travels faster than sound. You can measure the flash and time it when the thunder comes, and you can say that is so many kilometers away. But it happened at the same time. That's why the body hit the bones. Boof, it happened. When the power of the Holy Spirit came, it sounded like. So when the anointing comes, there's always a sound. There's a vibration. There's something. There's a presence. There's a tremor on the inside. I love the scripture. It says, when they read the word, we trembled at his word. I love that. Why? Because there was such an anointing on God's word. And God's word is also the best conductor of carrying the anointing. Because the word and the spirit, They always operate together. That's why Jesus commanded, take up your mat and walk. That was a command, but it was the power of the electricity going out and the thunder hit him. The anointing hit him. It was a declaration. It's called the voice of faith. It's the commanding healings. That thing can happen. And so let me just move on. So there are only certain kind of things that contact and transmit. We know that from above that this anointing can be absorbed into and transmittable through certain things. Absorbed into and transmit. There's receiving and giving. Electricity? Eskom. Eshkom. Comes from somewhere, but it manifests here. The power of God comes from somewhere, but like the copper wires, we are like the copper wires. We make contact. Hands of fire, laying hands on people. It's not us, it comes through us. We are transmitting, we are conducting, we are transmitting that anointing upon you. You're receiving it according to your faith, according to your compassion, according to what you want. Placing a demand on it, saying, yes, Lord, more. How? It's how the kingdom of God works. But it comes through us, to you. That's how the miraculous works. And the miraculous is God's power, literally. Well, the best way of saying it is, it actually flows through you. I wouldn't say literally because that means it really does. But actually it does. Healing you give, because such as you have, you give. It's a gift given to you that you give. But the miraculous flows through you. So I'll probably come on to that more. So, it's tangible. Okay, let me just skip. So, they touched his cloak. Woman with the issue of blood is the most classic way. And how do you receive it? This is how she received her healing. She said to herself, if I may but just touch the hem of his cloak, I know I'll be made whole. I know if I may but touch, I know it's going to happen. And the Bible says she kept saying to herself. The Bible says she said to herself, but their words mean she kept saying to herself. And that means that she was praying it before she did it. Hello? You want healing in your body? You need to ask before you get. Instead of coming up like bottom ass, what do you want me to do for you? That I might see, Lord. Oh, okay, that's what you want. Boom. Jesus wants to know what you want. He's not the God that knows everything. So you come up to him and say, you know, Lord. Yeah, you know everything. No, I don't. What do you want? He wants to know. Why? Because when he knows what to give, he'll give it. You just know what to get. Most people don't get healed because they don't know how to ask. You ask not. You have not because you ask not. You come there. So what are you here for, Jesus? I understand, but what? I mean, think Jesus saw Bartimaeus stone blind in front of him and he still asked him what he wanted. Yeah. What do you want? He walks up to the one man. Do you want to be made whole? You've been here 38 years. What do you really want? You're hanging. I have no one to help me. Well, get up and get out of here. Yeah, it's okay. See, there's some transition of communicating that awakens you into receiving. So she said that, and then she anemic for 12 years. Anemic. Have you ever lost blood? When it's leaked out of you, and you still got to try and move around, it's very hard. And for 12 years, very hard. And she crawled her way until she got to him as her last move, basically, and just grabbed him. But that grab was all that she needed. No one else was doing it. She got it. Boom. He said, who touched me? See, we can come into church all the time and expect things to happen. But when you ask God and you say, God, this Sunday, this meeting, tomorrow, whenever it is, I'm not leaving until I have got an answer to this thing. We need to be intentional, violent, wild, and leave with something knowing that we got the answer. Otherwise, it just becomes a spinning wheel, gaining no momentum to go anywhere. In our hearts, God wants us to have these things in our lives. And the anointing on us, you know, if you ever get to lying on the floor because of the power of God, stuff happens there. So, Kier, what happens? I have no idea. Are you unconscious? No, you can hear everything. Do you know what's going on around you? 100%. But why can't you get up? You can't. You're overpowered by the power of God. What's going on there? Cardiac surgery. He's the heart surgeon. He's answering the question, Adam, where are you? Ma'am, sir, where are you with me? He's getting this thing. You moved. He has never moved. He's moved. Adam, where? It's a question the world hasn't answered yet. Because Adam is every soul-centered man. Where are you coming back to him? Amen? Okay, I have to stop now. I have to stop. But we have to stop because I don't want this to be empty. So you can maybe play a CD or something. But if you're hungry for the presence of God and say, God, I'm not leaving this place, and it can be healing or whatever, but let's just say it's, you want God's presence on you and you want the infilling of the Spirit and you want that fire in your life that you just want again. And in him, when you get him, you get everything he is. He is the Lord, your healer. So when you get heaven, you get healing, you get deliverance, you get the power of the Spirit, you get gifts coming into you, you get all that. I cannot give you the mantle of anything. It's not my mantle to give. But you can get the anointing to grasp and design hunger and thirst for more of that mantle. And so why are we doing this? Because the church needs to be on fire. You got your hands on fire. You understand that. Now, let's just get that fire so that we can do that. So I'll invite those who want to come, just come. And if we can have some guys that can catch or if they need that. And so if the elders are not engaged, sirs, ma'ams, elders, elderines, wives, elderines, come lay hands. And all I want, it's not about who lays hands on you, it's how thirsty and hungry you are for his presence. And you don't have to wait for us. You can just receive. So find a place and just let the presence of God come. Holy Spirit, would you overshadow your word on people's lives tonight? Just cause your power to infiltrate, to be upon us, that we would leave changed, on fire, ignited in passion for you. Refreshed, renewed, as Brad said, times of refreshing. This is one of them. Thank you, Lord.